Seriously Sinister discusses true petty crimes that may be disturbing to some.
Or it could be easy listening to all of you psychopaths out there.
Names and places have been changed to protect the hosts legally.
Listener discretion is not advised.
Welcome to Seriously Sinister, the show that hits harder than the first hangover of your 30s. This is Trevin.
Oh my God, and I'm Amanda. And isn't that the dang truth? Once you hit 30, drinking just isn't the same.
Yeah, your body doesn't hold on to the hydration quite like it used to or something. I don't know.
Is that what it is, Dr. Trevin?
That's how it feels to me anyway. Okay. I've been stocking up on Pedialyte more when it comes to like hanging out with friends or when I know I'm going to be drinking.
Oh yeah. Pedialyte works wonders, I've heard. Mm-hmm. I've never used it for a hangover, but I probably should.
It's great. I first bought it and got the special like black label with like extra hydrating. And I thought this kind of tastes nasty. And then I went and tried the regular Pedialyte and it actually tastes really good.
Wow. There's a black label Pedialyte?
Yeah. It's like Johnny Walker Black, but for hydration.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's some serious stuff.
Oh, wow. They have Pedialyte popsicles too. Have we talked about this before?
I don't think so.
Okay. Maybe I've talked with this to one of my friends before, but yeah, I've gotten the popsicles for Lila when she's been like sick and whatever. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, they're so great.
Oh good. Yeah.
Yeah. We maybe need to get some more Pedialyte popsicles up in this house.
Yeah. Even if it's just for a delicious hydrating treat.
So what's your dreadful dilemma this week, Trevin?
All right. So my dreadful dilemma is you and I met up to go look at a house with a recording studio in it.
Yeah.
That was very cool. It was more of a thing where I just wanted to see the property and see a house with a recording studio in it.
Yeah.
And that was really neat. But afterwards, it was kind of late and we were hungry and I thought, I don't want to go home and cook, especially with my housing situation. It's not the easiest to make food sometimes. Plus, the stuff that we make in a microwave anyway isn't that healthy. So I'm just like, whatever, we'll just eat out. So we went to Corner Cafe.
Okay.
Which I do love me some Corner Cafe. You know, country cooking makes you good looking, as, as the shirts say.
That's what their shirts say?
They used to. They may not say that anymore now.
I mean,
I disagree.
False advertising.
Yeah. Okay, my favorite thing about Corner Cafe is they have the Platte County pie. Have you ever had this?
No. So, I've had their cinnamon rolls and things like that.
Yeah, I'm not a crazy cinnamon roll fan. I mean, they're fine. They're fine.
Okay.
I don't dislike them. But the Platte County pie is basically a Derby pie. I don't know if you've ever had that.
No.
So it's a pie that has chocolate chips, coconut, and pecans, I believe. It's like a big, thick chocolate chip cookie pie. It's so good.
Oh, okay.
My roommates and close friends that I used to live with both used to work there, and there would be times where sometimes they would bring home a Platte County pie, or at least a slice of one, and I would just go to town on them. So I thought, you know, I haven't been to Corner Cafe in a long time. I'm going to go, and who knows, maybe I'll get myself a piece of pie. So we had dinner, and I looked at the menu, and it just so happened that Wednesday was Platte County Pie Day. And I thought, this is my day.
Yeah.
So I ate my dinner. And then she was like, anybody want the check? And I was like, hold up.
Wait a minute.
I need 2 slices of your finest Platte County pie.
Give me your best.
And the lady said, oh, we sold out earlier.
Oh, no.
And I just wanted to flip the table. I was destroyed. It was very sad for me. We settled for 2 pieces of chocolate. And it was just pie.
Wow.
It wasn't life-changing. So I'm going to have to make a call at some point and just make a special trip to carry out a Platte County pie so I can enjoy this delicious piece of heaven.
It sounds great. Now I really want one.
They're so good. I don't know if they do them other days or it's just special days, but I will never go without calling ahead again.
Do you have Platte County pies in stock? If no, bye.
Yeah, and then they're just going to know me by name. Like, oh, it's the Platte County pie guy.
you're going to make the news like a headline about man always calls in to Corner Cafe to double check stocks of pies.
Yeah, eventually they'll just start making them because they just want to see who the guy is that's been calling this whole time. Like, oh, we'll just bring him in here. Like one of those raccoon traps, put the pie under a little box with a stick.
Oh my God.
Like, wow, we got him.
Oh my God. Well, that is very dreadful, Trevin.
I was looking forward to it.
Oh God. Well, mine is animal related again. My saga with little Arlo, my cat, continues. We're still struggling with potty training, which I swear my dogs did not take this long to potty train. My cat is just, I'm curious if any listeners out there have had this similar situation happen, please DM me or send us an email. But Arlo will go poop in his litter box. No problem. No problem whatsoever. It's just when he pees. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I have tried now. I have like this little plastic tote that he'll sometimes pee in, and I have to wash it out every morning, and I can't put any litter in it. Like, he doesn't want to stand on litter while he pees, so that is still a problem that's going on. He'll pee in a random little bucket thing. He's just such a weirdo.
Yeah, he is.
And then I got Reptar, who's been wearing the cone of shame all week because he got this weird little hot spot, and now he has a chicken foot.
Creepy, creepy chicken foot.
And I'm watching my parents' dog, Sunbun, as I call her. Her name is Sunny. And she's an angel. She's just super blind and super deaf and old. And she has like a bunch of meds that she takes. Really, Yoshi Girl is the least of my worries this weekend, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, she's usually kind of loud and it's hard to forget about her.
Yeah, I guess she does keep eating the cat food and keeps getting the runs, but I can handle that. You know what I mean?
Well, the cat food does that to me too.
Oh, okay, you little weirdo. Do you want to play some trivial true crime trivia?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay.
I want to play a game.
Whoa, 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 Trevin. We do not have the rights to say that.
Let's have a fun time.
I will go first.
Okay.
I find this to be a very fun fact that I like to share sometimes in conversation with people. I don't think I've ever had it with you.
Okay,
so I decided
I'm offended,
to turn
but let's have it
into a question.
Okay.
Which of these three bands played a concert at a venue owned by a serial killer? Is it A, Nickelback, B, Creed,
okay,
or C, Metallica?
Ooh, okay. These are giving me all the 90s vibes right here. Now, I have never heard about this, and I'm dying to know who the serial killer is, because I don't think I know this. I'm going to guess, I just think A would be the most funny, so I'm going to guess A, Nickelback.
Okay. And you are correct.
Yay! Oh my God, tell me more.
Okay, so have you ever heard of Robert Picton?
Maybe.
I don't remember what his serial killer nickname was or if he had one, but he was a Canadian serial killer and he was a butcher in Canada.
Oh, God.
And I can't remember how many people he killed. There were rumors that he was actually putting the people's meat in the meat. I don't know if he was feeding the human meat in the other people's meat. There was rumors that he did. There was also rumors that he just made specific meat plates for people and fed it to people to kind of mess with them.
Did he feed the meat to Nickelback?
I don't know, maybe.
So he was a butcher and he owned a concert venue?
So he was a butcher in like this town in Canada, and his family was kind of wealthy within there because they owned the butcher block, and that made pretty good money in the town. But they also had a little bar called the Piggy Palace.
Oh my God.
And so Piggy, because of like the meat, I guess. So they would do concerts there. And early in their career, before they made it big, Nickelback, being a Canadian band, had played small, A or multiple small shows, I don't know, at the Piggy Palace.
They're like, look at this photograph. It's a serial killer right there.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a mix of Nickelback and Creed, I feel like.
Yeah. That's okay.
Oh my God.
They're very similar.
Well, I have some trivia for you as well. Now, this one was actually inspired by you, Trevin.
Oh, I'm an inspiration.
Yes, because you are so afraid of death, I had to do one that related somehow.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so there are actually five choices, and because you are so fascinated with death, you probably know this.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask you anyway. Which one of the five senses is the last to go when someone passes away? Is it A, sight, B, hearing, C, touch, D, smell, or E, taste?
Hearing.
You did know it.
Yeah, we're both winners today. Yeah, I felt like just because you got yours right, there was no way I wouldn't get mine right. Because we always kind of...
I'm horrible with trivia.
Yeah, we kind of like interlock like that.
Oh my God. So according to an article on Science Daily website, and it was researched by the British Columbia University, they did a study recently in 2020 that would read EKGs of people who were sleeping. Mm-hmm. And the studies did confirm, or sorry, I say sleeping. They did them on people who were passing away, actually. And studies did show that the brainwaves were still going strong and that people can hear even when they are completely unresponsive.
That is so weird. You only get one death in your life. And somebody's like, oh, can I like hook you up and just kind of make you an experiment for your final little bit of life you have
left?
Wait,
hold up though. You really only think you get one death in your whole life? Are you one of those peeps?
I don't know what I am.
Okay. Didn't mean to make it super deep.
No, I don't really have a real thought of it, but I'm prepared for it being only one.
Okay. See, I am fully prepared to have many deaths. I just hope that when I do pass away, for the love of God, please have some good music on or say something nice like, you did good, shoddy. You did good. Mm-hmm. You know, like some sort of a last minute encouragement, you know, like, you did it right, girl. Something like that.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
Right?
Yeah, I thought about that a lot. I can't remember where I read it, but yeah, I knew that hearing was the last thing that you did. And so ever since then, I've just been like closing my eyes and pretending to be dead and just... just listening to things so I can get the best out of that experience.
You would do that. You would practice your death in your bed at night.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, do you ever take selfies of yourself with your eyes closed and be like, this is what I'll look like in my casket?
No, I do not. I am making that a poll on our social media because I need to know.
You know nobody's going to say they do that. I'm the only one that did that.
I don't know. I have a feeling you're not alone, but I definitely am not with you.
Okay, well, I'm the weirdo, I guess. I'm the weirdo.
Oh my God. So are you like working on like your posing like for when?
Yeah, I just kind of make sure that I still look good in death. It started when I would be at the chiropractor. I would go and they do like this electrotherapy where they put little things on your back and it's the heating pad and they get your muscles loosened up before you start getting adjusted.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of like laying there a lot and I thought, I'm just kind of laying stiff in a weird way. So then I was just like taking selfies. I was like, okay, I'm going to close my eyes and be really still and like try to get a good angle. And I'm like, I guess I wouldn't be too upset with that if that's how it ended up being.
Do you still have these photos?
No, I mean, sometimes I'll send them to people, but I don't see a point in saving them. Just whoever is Snapchatting me at the time. I'm like, this is what I'd probably look like right now if I was in the casket.
God. Okay, if I ever receive a photo from you, I cannot guarantee I will not share it with all of our listeners.
I don't blame you.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Because I mean, like, you don't know what you look like with your eyes closed because your eyes are closed. So you just got to know.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I sometimes have Jordan take pictures of me when I'm sleeping with Lila or something. And it's so funny because both her and I, we both do it. Like, our lips just go into this pout face. Mm-hmm. Like, as we're sleeping, I don't know. It's just so funny to me. So I don't know. I think I'd look just fine.
Yeah.
Okay. maybe we should jump into stories now, Trevin.
Yeah, I think we've all earned a story or two.
I think everyone who's still hanging in there deserves a good round of stories, for sure.
Weirded you out yet. Okay, so I'm going to go first, and this story is going to be from the news.
Okay.
And, yeah.
No preamble for me, eh?
No, I don't think so. This one, I will say I'm journeying back to Florida.
Oh, God. Here we go. This is going to get wild.
This will be my third Florida story so far in our, this is now the 20th episode. So.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yay! In our
20th episode, I've hit Florida 3 times.
Oh, man, Florida. What's going on?
I'm not aiming for Florida, but some of these just come up. I was thinking maybe one time we should do like a Florida month or something and just have like a special month dedicated to Florida.
I'm into it.
That could probably be fun.
Kind of like Shark Week, but Florida Week or Florida Month.
Yeah. Because you never run out of Florida stuff. So here we go. There are simple stock questions that we love to ask new people when getting to know them. With children especially, we find it is a good way to understand their personality a little bit better. Knowing a child's favorite color or food really helps give you an advantage in case they one day decide to turn on you. One of my go-to questions to ask a child is what their favorite animal is. This allows me to follow up by asking the kid to make that animal sound. There is a cute look of accomplishment when you tell a kid that they did a good job making the sound, even if their elephant impression was quite possibly the worst thing you've ever heard.
God, that kid sucked.
I ask this question for 2 reasons. First, putting the kid in an easy-to-win situation where I get to compliment their skills at something should allow them to like me and lower their defenses. Second, you get an early glimpse into their personality and what you may be up against. You've got a lot more to fear from a kid whose favorite animal is a lion as opposed to one who loves ducklings. The favorite animal can say a lot about a person. If a child's favorite animal is a wolf, you know that you may be in trouble. The wolf isn't afraid to be on their own and are fierce when backed into a corner. For me, my favorite animal is a soft, cuddly kitty. I often find myself laying on a couch, expect everyone to take care of me, and I prefer to be left alone.
Now go away.
This is a story about a man who would look death straight in the eye just to meet his favorite animal. Brandon was a fun-loving Florida man. His hobbies included hanging out with friends, fishing, and doing hard drugs. Sometimes his hobbies found a way of getting him into trouble, but he never let that get him down. He was currently working through probation for previous possession and theft charges. This meant that his usual fun nights of drinking and drugging had to be put on hold for a bit. But what is a 23-year-old drug connoisseur to do when they are no longer allowed to have their sweet magic dope snacks? Turn to Animal Planet, of course. In Brandon's time of laying low, he found a new love for wildlife. This led to him discovering his favorite animal, the alligator. In his time of probation, he watched all of the gator documentaries that he could, made crocodile vision boards, and even tried watching college football just to catch a glimpse of the Florida Gators mascots, Albert and Alberta Gator.
Touchdown, Gator.
Just like his past love for drugs and petty larceny, Brandon's love for alligators started to become a little unhealthy. In just a short amount of time, he had already memorized all 6 Lake Placid movies, traded in all of his shoes for Crocs, and even changed his phone's ringtone to that Let's Make Music Together song that the alligator in All Dogs Go to Heaven sings. Rumor has it that he even stopped showering so he could have a permanent case of swamp ass. It was only a matter of time, however, before Brandon started wondering how cool loving alligators could be if you did it while high. Just like orange juice and toothpaste, This was a combination that should never, ever happen. In the middle of a very exciting Crocodile Dundee marathon, Brandon decided to dust off his pipe and have a few tokes for old time's sake. It wasn't long into his high that he decided the alligators on TV weren't going to cut it. He jumped up, slipped on his Crocs, and decided to walk to St. Augustine Alligator Farm Zoological Park. Brandon had a date with destiny. He would finally get to meet his favorite animal. The fence was no match for all of the drugs in his system. With ease, Brandon hopped the fence and got into the main part of the park. Much like a small band opening for a national act, Brandon felt that he needed a bit of a warm-up event. To get himself ready to meet a gator, he decided to break into the concession stand and cause some damage to the property. To a seasoned rule breaker, minor violations are like an appetizer to the main course of crime. After enough damage was caused, it was time to move on to the gators. Without hesitation, Brandon climbed up on top of a 6-foot structure, stripped down to his boxers, and jumped into the 2-foot deep oasis of the Nile crocodile enclosure. It was everything he could have hoped for. Just him and his favorite animals sharing the same water. He had never felt so at home in all of his life, until he felt something big scrape across one of his legs. It was in that moment that Brandon realized maybe these creatures didn't view him as an equal in this body of water. Maybe, just maybe, they would think of him as one of those poor gazelles that he loved to watch them eat on nature documentaries. It was here that Brandon realized the error of his ways, and that he needed to escape the enclosure as quickly as possible. With very little light, he took each step blindly, just hoping not to step on one of the scaled beasts. Surrounded by the sounds of water and crocodile hisses, Brandon held his breath and made his way to the edge of the pool. Just as he pulled himself up on the edge of the pool, a 9-foot crocodile popped out and locked onto his leg. The reptile began to roll over, attempting to subdue Brandon. Somehow, amid all the motion, Brandon was able to free himself from the jaw of the crocodile. He quickly knocked over a statue and climbed it up on top of a fence. Once safely out of the alligator park, Brandon found the pain too intense to walk back home. He dropped to the ground and began to army crawl all the way home. Fueled by drugs and bad decisions, Brandon crawled for hours until early the next morning when some police officers came by to check on him. "Sir, we've received calls about a half-naked man crawling through people's backyards. Are you okay?" the officer asked. Brandon explained that he had been bitten by an alligator, and the officers called him an ambulance. It wasn't until hours later, when the St. Augustine Alligator Farm opened, that the police received another call. The worker explained that they opened up the park to find a long trail of blood all over the park, a statue knocked over, and an abandoned pair of Crocs. Putting two and two together, the police went back to the hospital to arrest Brandon. In that time, Brandon had already attempted to escape the hospital, but got caught in a retention pond lined with barbed wire. In November of 2018, Brandon Keith Hatfield was arrested for trespassing in an alligator farm, where he was charged with burglary and damaging/criminal mischief. He sustained minor injuries, was sentenced to 1 year in prison with 2 years of community service to follow, and fined $5,500. At the hospital, Brandon denied ever being at the alligator farm. In the arrest report, Brandon told officers he was held hostage by an old man who had an alligator on a leash while keeping him surrounded by tons of baby alligators in the old man's garage. He also stated that the old man had fed him to the baby alligators while forcing him to drink his black concoction. For Brandon, this is a case of when loving your favorite animal goes too far. For those of you whose favorite animal is a wild one, you must learn to love that animal from a reasonable distance. Or you could be just like me and love something soft, cuddly, and domesticated. Because safety should always come first, and that's no load of crock.
I have a lot of feelings about this story.
Do you?
First of all, the man's last name being Hatfield. Mm-hmm. Did you do that on purpose?
Well, I didn't give him that name.
So my last name is Rose because I got married, but my maiden name is Hatfield. So that I was like, oh man, don't put Hatfields, don't bring our family dishonor. Okay, Brandon. Oh, good Lord.
Get it together.
But also, I have been to a place called Gatorland when I was growing up. Have you ever been to a place like this?
No, I think the closest thing is the Omaha Zoo I went to, and they had a pretty cool reptile place, but that's the only big reptile thing I've been to.
Oh my God. My dad actually was a volunteer from the crowd that got to feed the gators.
Ooh.
And he had like full chickens on like a long stick, and they just dangled it over the water, and the gators just jumped up and grabbed it. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what it would be like at night to jump into alligator-infested waters and then have them chomp down on your legs.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. There's something about alligators to me that their movement creeps me out. You know when people watch the old Ring movies or The Grudge or something, and there's people that are creeped out by the unnatural movement of creepy girls?
Yeah.
To me, just the slow walking motion of an alligator, they're just like creeping.
Yeah.
They creep me out just the way they move. They don't have to be murderous or deadly in any way, just the way they walk. It just kind of freaks
me
out.
They are really weird. And also when they get flipped on their back, they go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know it's a way to kind of subdue them or something.
Yeah, it's so weird. They're very weird creatures, but wow, I wonder if an alligator is still Brandon's favorite animal after that.
I wonder as well. I will say, when writing the story and giving the backstory, I did not fabricate the croc part.
Really?
That actually is a thing.
He was wearing Crocs?
He was wearing Crocs, which is what inspired the whole idea of the story. It's because how funny that you go jump in a crocodile tank while wearing Crocs. But no, yeah, there was a picture at the scene of just a black croc in the middle of the water.
I was just about to ask what color they were. Okay.
I believe so they're black. Yeah.
Okay.
They were
oh
dark.
My God. Oh my God. Okay. What are the freaking odds? And that man, he army crawled for a good long while.
Yeah. Cause I believe they said that he had broke into it, the place at like 8 p.m. and they called the cops about him crawling through yards at 7 in the morning. So we're talking 12-ish hours, probably.
Could you imagine? You're just sitting out on your back porch. You're a retired Floridian living your best life. And you see this fucking dude army crawling through your yard.
In his underwear, and he's just bleeding.
Oh my God.
That's probably just a normal morning in Florida.
Probably. It's like, well, what'd you find out there in the garden, honey? Well, just another gator and a man army crawling. Yep. Okay. Living our best.
Yeah, well, don't pet it.
The man or the gator.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. That was a good traditional Florida story.
Indeed. Because this was an alligator farm, but he jumped into the crocodile exposure? Enclosure. Wow.
Okay.
He jumped into the crocodile enclosure, which had three in it. And they were, the smallest one was 9 foot, which is the one that got him. And it went all the way up to like 14 feet. But they said that just over the next wall, had he picked the other one, there was another one just full of like 100 gators in it. So it's like this dude would have been ripped to shreds.
Demolished.
Had he went into the other one, because this one was just three.
Oh my God.
I just can't imagine that feeling of helplessness.
Do you know what kind of drugs he was on?
No.
It was smoked out of a pipe.
Well, I made that part up.
Oh, okay.
I read so many things on this guy, and I only found one where the police said that he was on drugs, but they just said drugs.
Okay.
And they didn't even say what his possession charges were. I just assumed it was something heavier.
Yeah, but it's gotta be. You have to be on something hard to go swimming with a gator.
Yeah, I mean, you're not smoking weed, swimming with a gator, and then getting arrested and saying, I don't remember doing that at all. I mean, if so, that's the craziest weed I've ever heard of.
I know. And I would like to believe that the swamp ass part of the story is true.
When you see pictures of him, he looks like he's got swamp ass.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, are you ready for my story?
I am ready.
All right. So my story this week is also from the news.
Okay.
And this story takes place in Israel. So this is my first story ever from that area, right?
Yeah, I would say. Let's think of how many we've done outside of the country. I did my Germany one, and this might be the second one.
Yeah, I think it might be the first. We could be totally wrong. Who knows? Anyway, yeah, it's from the news, and this was a really good story. So let's go ahead.
All right, let's get into it.
I'm just going to shut up and talk now.
Shut up and talk.
As human beings, we should all be treated as equals. But we would all be lying to ourselves if we said we didn't have our favorite humans that we put up on a pedestal. Whether it be your favorite lacrosse player, an out-of-date boy band, or a reality star that you know would be your best friend if they met you, we have all experienced being a devoted fan to someone. This was the case in March 1996 for a woman living in Israel named Miriam. Miriam was a woman in her early 30s with a steady job and two loyal pups. Her morning routine started out with her blaring alarm going off and her two fluff buds licking on her face. Reluctantly, Miriam forced herself out of bed and made some hot coffee. As soon as the caffeine hit her bloodstream, Miriam rushed into her living room with excitement. Her local morning news station was by far the highlight of her mornings. Not because she liked hearing about the morning traffic or last night's local murders. Oh no. Miriam had one particular segment that brought her equal parts joy and lust. The Daily Weather Update with Danny Rupp. To Miriam, Danny was more than just a local weatherman. He was everything. Miriam scooted to the edge of her couch as the weather segment was announced and Danny appeared on her screen.
Good morning, Haifa, said Danny in his energetic newscast voice. It's going to be a beautiful day with oodles of sunshine and clear skies. Get out and enjoy that weather while you can. Looks like thunderstorms will be making their way down to the region later this week.
Miriam let out a gentle sigh as she watched Danny's lips move as he spoke. She was so mesmerized that she didn't notice that one of her pups was chugging down the rest of her coffee. Eventually, the segment ended, and Miriam stood up feeling cranky once again. At least the weather will be nice, she said out loud to her pups. The pups barked back at her in approval as Miriam put on her favorite red sundress. After all, red was Danny Rupp's favorite color. This was a conclusion Miriam had made after seeing how many red ties Danny wore while broadcasting the ever-changing weather. After applying some lip gloss, Miriam blew a kiss to her pups and headed out to work. As soon as she stepped outside, however, she stopped dead in her tracks. A brisk, cool air blew all around her, causing her red dress and hair to flap violently in the wind. As Miriam looked upwards, expecting to see clear, sunny skies, she saw rain clouds and birds squawking away in fear. This can't be right, Miriam thought. Danny told me today would be beautiful. Just as she was turning back to go inside and change her clothes, she stopped herself. If Danny says today will be beautiful, then it will be. He would never lie to me, Miriam reassured herself. She hopped into her car and drove to work. Because she worked downtown, she parked and mentally prepared herself for the long walk to her office building. She glanced down nervously at the umbrella on her passenger seat. Should I take this with me? Miriam debated inside her mind. But all the while, Danny Rupp's voice echoed over and over again in her head.
Oodles of sunshine. Oodles of sunshine. Oodles of sunshine.
She chuckled to herself. How could she have possibly doubted her man? She slammed her car door shut, with her umbrella left on her passenger seat. Miriam was about halfway through her half-mile trek to work when she began to feel raindrops hitting her in the face. Her stroll turned into a power walk as the light rain turned into a torrential downpour. The remainder of the day, Miriam sat shivering inside her frigid cubicle. Slowly throughout the day, she began to sniffle, sneeze, and cough until her boss told her to go home and rest. Miriam ended up taking 4 days off work as she laid bundled up with her pups. She was surrounded by tissues that she used to stop her runny nose caused by her cold and also to catch the tears of betrayal pouring down her cheeks.
How could Danny do this to me?
She sobbed to her animals. By the end of day 4, Miriam's cold had subsided and her sadness had turned into pure vengeance. She contacted a lawyer and sued Danny Rupp for his false weather prediction, saying that he had caused her to not dress properly, which led to a cold, which caused her to miss work, and forced her to pay $38 for medication, which led her to experience pain and suffering. All she wanted was $1,000 and a personal apology from Danny himself. In the end, Miriam got the justice she so desperately deserved. Due to her severe pain and suffering, she was granted the $1,000. And Danny Rupp sincerely apologized for his grave error. When it comes to our celebrity crushes and heroes, we often forget that they are human beings, just like us. There's an 80% chance of making us warm and proud, with a slight chance of gloomy disappointment.
Whoa, that is wild. And to actually win that is even more mind-blowing.
I agree. I could not believe. I mean, just yesterday, we took my daughter to the zoo, and it was supposed to be a very small, I mean, I think it was only like less than 10% chance that it could rain. Mm-hmm. And it downpoured for, I don't know, like 2 hours yesterday.
Oh.
So, yeah. The whole day I was telling my husband, Jordan, I was like, we should sue the Weather Channel.
Yeah. I wonder if there's like a disclaimer now that says, you can't do that. This is, you know what I mean? You know the little taglines
yeah.
I do.
Yeah. And also, I must say, in my story, they never listed the woman's name, age, anything about her. Hmm. So Miriam is a made-up name, but the newscaster's name is Danny Rupp, and that is the name of the town and everything. And she did get a personal apology from this man.
I wonder if the money was just paid by the news station, or surely Danny Rupp didn't actually pay the $1,000.
I don't know. It didn't say that. That is a really good point, though. Like, who pays for that? Does Danny have to go into his own pocket? I don't know.
Maybe he just loved his job so much and felt so bad for being wrong that he was like, you know what? I deserve to pay this $1,000.
Yeah. And I don't know. For someone to try and go for that, in my mind, they have to be a super fan of Danny Rupp that takes everything he says completely as the word of God, basically.
Yeah, like a real fanatic.
Because, I mean, let's all think about this. How often have you had your local news person get the weather wrong?
All the time.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, maybe it's like a different thing in different countries, but I know here in the U.S., I don't think that would work. I just don't see that flying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if it was a severe thing, like, hey, go out and enjoy the day, it's perfect, and then there's like 5 tornadoes in that exact area, maybe I could see, okay, someone's suing, but just because of the rain and a cold and missing 4 days of work. I couldn't even believe it. It cracked me up.
Yeah, maybe I could try that and try to get the news to fix the window button in my car because I keep leaving the windows down when it rains.
Yeah, I'd be like, you guys have caused me great suffering.
Yeah. I can only roll the passenger window up and down from the driver's side.
Oh my God. I know. There's just so many weird suing stories out there, but this was one I hadn't heard before, and it really delighted me. Mm-hmm. But I do have a connection for our stories.
Okay.
My connection is that both of our main characters got bad ideas from watching the television.
Okay. I was thinking you were going to say something with favorites, because yours had a lot to do with favorite celebrities. Mine was favorite animals.
Okay. That's a good one, too. Mm-hmm. Connections everywhere. And also, both of our main characters got soaking wet, one from rain, one from swimming with gators.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would think that your character would have expected to get wet, but who knows?
Well,
Hard drugs.
You stripped down before you
got
in.
So. Right. Wow, wow, wow. Well, gators and weathermen, people.
Yeah.
Could you want anything more than that?
Both some of the most dangerous predators out there.
Oh, also, Danny Rupp isn't a bad-looking guy. So that was another reason why I was like, oh, maybe she was just a hardcore stan. And, you know, mm-hmm. That was another reason, too. I'll post a picture of him.
Yeah. If I'm not going to get your attention any other way, I'm going to sue your ass.
Yeah. I don't know. People are so wild.
Yeah.
And I don't know much about the culture in Israel. So if my story is somehow...
They're like, this is normal. I just sued my weatherman last week. It's no big deal.
They're like, yeah, this is a weekly occurrence. Yeah. Poor Danny Rupp. Yeah. He's homeless on the streets now.
Oh, yeah.
He's on the streets grabbing his chest saying, there's a 60% chance that it's already raining.
Mean Girls reference.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, everybody, thank you guys again so, so much. We've been receiving so much love on social media lately, and it's mm-hmm. just been blowing us away. I've talked to countless listeners just about their fur babies. If you're a listener and you want us to feature your fur baby, every week we do a Fur Baby Friday and we feature a pet. But I just have listeners just send me their animals. Also, speaking of animals and listeners, we have a company sending our fur babies some bandanas in the mail.
Mm-hmm, the two banditos.
The two banditos, yep. So I can't wait to receive those. We also have a candle company in the works that's going to be sending us a seriously sinister candle. So I can't wait. When we receive all this, we'll definitely show you guys. But just exciting, cool stuff like that.
Yeah, I love that. And seeing our name on things is cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. And yeah, I think by the time this episode comes out, I'm not sure what date it'll fall on. But I know on social media, we've been asking all of our listeners to nominate us for Kansas City's top podcast. So if it's still going on by the time this episode does come out, I do have the link in our bio on Instagram. And I posted the link on our Facebook page. But we just appreciate all the love and support we've been getting recently. And we just wanted to say thank you to everybody.
Yes, thank you. This episode will come out on the 28th of July.
Oh.
So we will have a couple days left.
Okay. Yes. So this is your last minute reminder because I believe it ends on the 30th, right?
I think that's what you said, yeah.
So if you haven't already nominated us, please go and do that. We would appreciate it. And also, if you haven't left us a review, please do, because I have been loving our thoughtful, thoughtful reviews we've been getting on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, they've been super helpful. I love them. And yeah, we definitely need your help with the Kansas City thing because first we take over Kansas City, then we take over the world.
Oh my God. Well, we better get off of here. My poor dog Reptar is making some real weird sounds in the background.
And it'll only get worse.
It'll only increase with time. So just keep in mind, everyone, that no matter the crime, big or small, in the end, we're all doomed.
We are all doomed.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Seriously Sinister.
If you have a true petty crime story to share, please email us at seriouslysinisterpodcast@gmail.com or send us a Facebook message.
If you would like to support our show, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review.
Also, tell your friends about this podcast.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Seriously Sinister Podcast.
And on Twitter at Seriously Sin Pod.
Shout out to Trevin for writing all of the original music you hear and for producing our show. Follow him and his music at Fiesta Maiden on SoundCloud, Spotify, and Facebook.
And credit to Miranda Lucas for our awesome logo. You can find her on Instagram at MirandaLucas26.
All stories are written by myself and Trevin, and all stories are based on actual, true petty crimes.